Hey, it's Craig. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Canadian History X early and ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Now the trail was first blazed back in the olden days. Cowboys drove their cattle north and south to graze. Well, they came from all over, from everywhere. Including cowboys from Mexico and that famous American, John Ware. Through the years, the cowboy trail, it grew and grew. It's now part of scenic Highway 22. Well, it starts in Cardston, close to the USA, and it ends up in Marathorpe, 700 clicks away. Come on!
Greetings and welcome to another episode of Canadian History X. That song you just heard came from the History Wrangler, also known as Rob, and it's called The Cowboy Trail. And one of the great things about what I do is that I can connect with a lot of historians all over Canada. And one of those historians is the History Wrangler, who's actually based right here in Alberta. And he's done such an amazing job of getting Alberta's history out there. He's won awards for it. He's just a perfect example of someone who loves history and wants everybody to kind of learn about history and about the amazing things that have gone on in places like Alberta. Now, that song, like I said, that we just heard was an original composition by the History Wrangler. And we're going to hear another one from him. And it's called the Yahoo for the Bar You Song. Now, we're not going to hear all of the song, we're just going to hear portions. And then I will close out the episode with a song called Captain Freddie McCall, Alberta's Amazing World War I Flying Ace. So I'm going to be going to that interview with the History Wrangler, who's a really cool guy and really interesting to talk to, and I hope you enjoy it.
Just what to do. He leased thousands of acres on that cowboy trail. Then cowboys drove their cattle, including Big John Ware. So Yahoo for the Barroo, it's still a working wrench. Yahoo for the Barroo, let's celebrate with a two-step dance. Come on now, Bill.
So I guess first question, what got you interested in history?
Yeah, well, thanks for that question, Craig. What happened back in 2004, the year before Alberta's Centennial, I thought it'd be really interesting to contribute somehow to Alberta's Centennial. So I walked into Chapters bookstore and said, just out of curiosity, what book has been written where there's a time travel adventure story where the heroes go back in time in Alberta? And you could actually hear a pin drop, and she said, I've never heard of a book like this before. So that got me quite interested. I thought, why not write a book for Alberta Centennial? So what I did, I went to the Historical Society of Alberta, a wonderful woman named Debbie Goodine. She said, Rob, why don't you write the book, and I'll introduce you to the one and only Hugh Dempsey, one of Alberta's foremost historians. Now, Hugh's written over 20 books, and he's certainly very, very knowledgeable and should be able to assist you. So I went and I wrote the manuscript and I sent it to Hugh. And Hugh, of course, he actually liked the story, but he said, Rob, we also have to work on your historical facts and your research. So he's very, very helpful. And that eventual book, it had close to 300 historical facts in it. And to my shock and surprise, I received my Alberta Centennial Medal, as well as the Alberta Heritage Awareness Award, outstanding contribution to provincial history. So I love that. But in the meantime, it got me really intrigued about Alberta history. I said to myself, boy, this is really interesting. What else can I discover? So I went and Indigenous history has always fascinated me. So came up with a neat storyline about Max Iron Crow from Siksika, First Nation, and how he has to go back in time to save his dying brother, who has less than 10 days to live. So put together a really compelling story. And again, close to a year's research to prepare for that. And I just humbled that Chief Crowfoot's great-great-granddaughter actually wrote the forward message in the book. So I was just delighted with that and the the Illustrators and Tsuut'ina First Nation. So I enjoyed that, and that, to my, again, humble surprise, is actually voted one of the finest Indigenous books in Canada. So I just thrilled with that. And then from there, I actually went to the Historical Society of Alberta just to thank them for their support. They said, Rob, while you're here, we'd like you to interview for the position of Director of the Alberta Heritage School Fairs Program. What that is, it's a national program that goes from coast to coast, and it's actually put on and overseen by the Canada's history people in Winnipeg. So what I did, A, I resurrected the Calgary Fair that's taken a three-year hiatus, and B, oversaw the five regions across the province. So it was absolutely wonderful, and I just I enjoyed it. But also what I said to myself, I said, dress like a guy with a suit on or jeans that will not captivate the attention of these kids predominantly. So I said to myself, it's time to create a new brand or some sort of brand. So I came up with a brand called the History Wrangler. So I've had that title now for over 10 years, and it served me very, very well. And not only do I like to share my Alberta history in speech, but I also like to write songs and share my passion for history and songs. It worked out very, very well for me. And one thing's led to another. And so after doing the director, I had that position for a year and a half, became actually a historian down at Historic Bow Valley Ranch down in Calgary here at the Fish Creek in the Fish Creek Provincial Park. So that's something I've enjoyed. And through that, we developed the Bow Valley Ranch Learning Center. And essentially now we teach Alberta history and the programs I've developed all across Alberta. So it's been quite the adventure indeed.
Nice. Yeah, you actually answered a few of my questions right there. How did the name History Wrangler, why did you choose History Wrangler as kind of your brand?
Yeah, I just thought it sounded like, of course, my big almost only focus on Alberta history. So I thought, of course, a proud Western heritage. And also so just sort of one thing, I just came to me one night and I thought, wow, that is a catchy name. So, and subsequently, Craig, it's interesting, I'm now actually the official ambassador of the Cowboy Trail.
Nice.
That's a historic trail that goes right from the U.S. border all the way up to Merrithorpe. And I've just, matter of fact, I've written several songs about the Cowboy Trail. And matter of fact, I haven't told about the Cowboy Trail song, but actually talks about all about the history. Of course, it goes up to the historic Bar-Your Ranch, mm-hmm. one of my favorite places in Alberta. And that was established back in 1892. And of course, and John Ware, the incredible black freed slave, was one of the big cowboys in Canada. They say he only got bucked off a horse once, shortly after Alberta became a province in 1905. He got bucked off, sadly, his horse fell into a gopher hole, stepped in a gopher hole, and John Ware fell off, and the horse landed on him, which is unfortunate. Of course, very sad. And also, none other than the book, The Sundance Kid. Mm-hmm. Harry Lombach was actually there as well. So, steeped in history. And the nice thing as well, in the store, Bow Valley Ranch, Senator Patrick Burns actually owned the Bar-Your Ranch for 10 years, from 1927 to 37, he passed away. So, just deep in history. So, again, the History Wrangler brand will serve me very, very well across the province.
Yeah, the Bar-Your Ranch, I've been there when I was down in High River, and it's actually a really cool place. And like you mentioned, John Ware, I did an episode on him a few months ago, and he was just a fascinating individual. What do you feel sets Alberta history apart from the rest of Canada?
Yeah, I think that's a very good question. And certainly it's interesting, of course, Saskatchewan to the east. We sort of, we're almost like sister. Of course, there are some people call us the sister provinces because we were born virtually on the same day back in 1905. And that said, Alberta, it's just, I think, distinctive as far as the cowboy spirit and the entrepreneurial spirit and just so steeped in some fascinating subjects I'm very near to my heart, whether it be the ranching from down south, whether it be the incredible character we've had, the cowboys, you know, connection with royalty. And it's interesting, Craig, one of the groups I teach are the Girl Guides of Alberta. And I've actually developed a fun Heritage Badge program. I've now taught close to 2,000 Girl Guides. So I said to myself, Girl Guides, they enjoy royalty, so it behooves me to learn something about our great province, or the great princes whom our province is named after. So fascinating research I've done with Prince Louise Caroline Alberta. And in a few examples, we all think of Prince Harry saying how he married a commoner, where Princess Louise Alberta, she actually married the first commoner in over 300 years. She actually had to get the permission from Mother Queen Victoria to do so. So fascinating there. She's very inquisitive. They call her Little Miss Y. And what's also interesting how back in 1899, the fifth highest mountain peak in the Canadian Rockies was named after her, Mount Alberta. But also a neat story just about that as well. It's that her husband, who is actually the Governor General, the fourth Governor General of Canada, John Campbell, also known as the Marquess of Lorne. It's interesting how he actually approached the Prime Minister. He said, "Sir John A., I'd like to name the then territory after my wonderful wife, Sir John A. says, "Terrific, let's name the territory Louise." So it happens. So John, Louise's, Alberta's husband, said, "Honey, we'd like to, at least, dear, like to name the territory after yourself." She said, "That's fine, but instead of Louise, how about we name the province Alberta, my other name and tribute for my father, Prince Albert, who had passed away," and she's 13 years old. So That's her connection with that. And another fun thing I like to tease my buddies in Saskatchewan, Regina at one time was referred to as Pile of Bones. And it's actually Prince Louise Karen Alberta suggests the name change to Regina. So there's a nice little, so all these tidbits, and she's actually fully bilingual in French as well, fluent in French. She loves salmon fishing in Quebec in the summertime. So it's just something that, but again, and history overall, Craig, what I find, there's history and there's really cool history stuff. Really, really cool history. And now I've got close to 150 books and magazines in Alberta history. And if you open them, most of them up, you'll find underlines and X's next to them. I'm a firm believer, again, you got history, but that really cool history. It's like mine, not mining for gold, but mining for really interesting history.
Absolutely.
So that's why I like to extrapolate and put in my book. So that's something that another one of my interests in my Indigenous theme. And a great example of this will be the gentleman from the warrior from the Kenai, the Blackfoot warrior named Calfshirt. What he was doing back in the 1860s is actually he's mourning his mom and dad around Medicine Hat because they both passed away. So middle of the night, he was visited by the rattlesnake people. Said, "Calfshirt, when you awake, you'll have power over rattlesnakes." So he woke up, and sure enough, and he ended up getting incredible power over rattlesnake. And in the 1870s, he went down to Lethbridge, and he actually charged people 25 cents per person. So he picked up his wild rattlesnake, and poured it 5 or 6 inches down his throat, believe it or not. So he never got bit. And he does some wonderful pictures of him actually with a big snake around his neck. So incredible. So how I incorporated that in my Indigenous theme book, that Max Ironcrow, the hero, has to swallow a rattlesnake in order to compete as part of the storyline. So anyway, just something it's that fascinating history that and I've got an insatiable appetite for Alberta history, sure.
What do you like about bringing history to kids?
Yeah, what I like about bringing history to kids is that your average person, your average kid, they're not that interested in history. It hasn't been approached or given to them in a very engaging way. And so when I go in there and I get the kids all excited about history, and it's really remarkable thing about history, it's just wonderful to see the twinkle in their eyes. And it's interesting, and people say, "Why do you enjoy teaching girl guides so much?" And it's just that matter to get these girls inquisitive about Alberta history. It's fun to see the expression on their face at the beginning of the presentation, like, "Oh, I hope this chance of this will be boring." And sure enough, I like to just sort of teach them otherwise and get them all excited about the subject. So, and the one thing as well, if you ask me about my one pet peeve from a history standpoint, from a awareness standpoint, is very, very few Albertans know what day of the year Alberta became a province. And so much so, just when I was visiting the 20,000 students that year as a director of Alberta Heritage School Affairs, I'd ask all of these students and a lot of teachers, quite frankly, and I'd say, just out of curiosity, what day of the year was Alberta's birthday? And without an exaggeration, you count all the correct numbers on actually less than one hand. So I said to myself, let's do something about this. So we've done several things. The first thing is on September 1st, the day of Alberta's birthday, we organized big events down at Historic Bow Valley Ranch. They included the reenactment of the ceremony of the inauguration. We actually had some of my favorite historians dressed up in tails and top hats during the inauguration. And we also had a marching band. And historically wise, back in 1905, that is actually led the parade by a Calgary-based marching band, military band. So the first couple of years, you had the King's Own Calgary Regiment led the parade. Then also a delay, the Lieutenant Governor of Alberta arrived as well. She participated. And so anyway, so that's that first thing I did. The second thing, this is a couple of years ago now, I received a Twitter follow. And the Twitter account was at 555 Nickel, named after an Alberta highway. So that led me to think, so I wonder, let me think of any sort of name we could, of a highway we could change to help showcase how, in fact, Alberta's birthday is on the first day of the ninth month of the year. So I started to think, let's see, ninth, first month of the, that's 1919, and I wonder where, if there's a Highway 19. So sure enough, there was, and I approached the then Minister Mason, Minister of Transportation, and he quite liked the idea. He said, Rob, let's, and I suggested the, let's rename Highway 19 to the Alberta Trail. So he said, Rob, interesting idea. Talk to the executive director, Michael Boutros, over at Alberta Transportation. So wouldn't you know, one thing led to another. And he said, Rob, I like the idea. And it turned out, another suggestion of mine, saying, let's have a caption underneath a sign and have it decided on upon grade four students. That's a big grade in Alberta where history is it's sort of one of the main focuses. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so we asked over 1,200 kids to decide on the motto. And sure enough, for the 113th birthday of Alberta, we had the Fisher release ceremony at the Duke No. 1 Discovery Center. So which Highway 19 is now referred to as Highway 19, the Alberta Trail. There's big, large, I think it's 6 feet by 9 feet signs. And the neat thing is, but not only does that recognize Alberta's birth, but also that's the site of Leduc No. 1. And of course, a big old discovery back in February 1947 that brought all to, led to this common day, or today's prosperity, or at least up until recently. That's a whole other subject, mind you. Yeah. But certainly, so they approved of it, and the Lieutenant Governor showed up. We had a wonderful presentation. And also, it's interesting, down the street, it's actually the Castro Raceway, been around for years, a large raceway in Western Canada. Her honor actually made a declaration how the highway is renamed, and we actually had a flag and a trophy for the fastest driver on that track that day. I got an Alberta flag, and guess how fast he's going?
How fast?
So, yeah, 244 miles an hour.
Oh, jeez.
That's quite the celebration. We had that. So then I've written songs about the first day of the inauguration. So yes, I certainly I'm doing my part to get people aware of. When Alberta's birthday is.
That highway is actually pretty close to where I live. I go by there quite a bit.
Oh, wonderful. Check out the sign.
I should.
Next time we come on down.
Tell me a bit about Bow Valley Ranch.
Yeah, Bow Valley Ranch is actually the home of three, I call them the three distinguished ranchers. And what happened goes back to 1873 when John Glenn, he has quite the background. He actually sailed over from Ireland at 16. Went down to Texas, in a Waco, Texas area, and he wanted to sort of see the Wild West, and sure enough, a short time later, the Civil War broke out. So he actually was fought, he's conscripted by the Confederate side. Of course, they're fighting to keep slavery, and he said one night, he said, forget this nonsense. So he crossed over the fence and joined the Union side, and sure enough, the Union side ended up winning. And after the war, he came up, and he went to up through Alberta looking for gold. But he didn't find gold, but he found a wonderful, a Métis woman named Adelaide Belcour up in the St. Anne area, close where you live. So they actually came down on their mule. They got married on September 1st, 1873, and they came down and they settled in a beautiful area where the Fish Creek meets the Bow, down in which is now Fish Creek Provincial Park. So he's quite the gentleman. He had some of his highlights. He traded with the Mounties, and they grew hay, which is fed to the Mountie horses. And he also built the very first stone fireplace in Fort Calgary. So very much a prominent, one of the first Calgarians. It also actually had a bid for the lots of Calgary when the city came around and incorporated. And I think you see, I believe he got the very first lot downtown Calgary. So that's John Glenn. And he subsequently sold the land, sold his acres to the government of Canada, as used for a farm to teach First Nations how to farm and again continue the growing hay. And from there, it was actually sold, I believe, to the former Lieutenant Governor of Quebec. And then William Roper Hall, he's what I call the second distinguished rancher of the Bow Valley Ranch. What he did, he left England, he and his brother. They came over, they went, they walked beside the Panama Canal, and they came up to British Columbia. And they came and they did very, very well. They brought 1,200 horses, believe it or not, through the Canadian Rockies. They ended up selling to settlers and also some to the Bayou Ranch as well. They sold it $50,000. So what happened from there is this William Roper Hall, he became one of the most affluent Albertans. Matter of fact, the big 1,000-seat opera centers that he built over time. And he also donated much of his money to the Hall Home for Kids. It actually still thrives today, which is quite something. So back in 1896, he built this beautiful house, the historic Bow Valley Ranch House. And in 1902, none other than Senator Patrick Burns, also known as Canada's Cattle King, came up and said, "Listen, William, I'd like to buy this ranch from you and other holdings as well." So he's a third distinguished rancher, and he's quite something indeed. That he his storyline's quite interesting. That way back when he was a kid, he was in Kirkland, Ontario, and he's helping a farmer, or at least farmer, clear his land and helping put up a fence and whatnot. So after the month, Senator Patrick, or then time, that time Patrick said, "Okay, farmer, I'd like to get paid now." The farmer says, "Well, I can't pay you cash, but I can give you a cow. And I'll give you a hint, that cow is worth about $70 the way it is, but if you chop it up into hamburger meat, that cow is almost worth $120, $140. That lifetime lesson led one thing to another, and it's a remarkable one time they say, Craig, you ride a horse right from Calgary all the way down to the U.S. border, they'll leave in Senator Patrick Burns' land, which is quite something. So he's known as a cattle king, and when he turned 75, R.B. Bennett, who's also spent a lot of time in Calgary, a lawyer, became the prime minister, made Senator Patrick Burns a senator at 75 years old, the gift. What's interesting that Senator Patrick Burns is a staunch liberal, but R.B. Bennett was a staunch conservative, so it's quite something. And for his celebration, his July 6th birthday, when he turned 75, they created a big birthday cake, which is unbelievable, which he replicated for one of our September 1st celebrations. And guess how many people that cake fed?
How many?
Yeah, it fed 15,000 people.
Oh, geez.
It weighed over 1.2 tons. It's actually a fruit cake. Actually featured a Stampede Parade, which is quite something. So, yeah, so he's quite the guy. So there you get, you have the three distinguished ranchers. So, really lucky guy in that between John Denn, William Roper Hall, and Senator Patrick Burns. great historical stories, all three of them.
What programs have you created for the Lieutenant Governor?
Yes, the Lieutenant Governor, actually, I met with her honor way back 5-6 years ago. And when she decided that Alberta history and education would be one of her big hallmarks for her bigger cause during her term. So I'd known her honor from a previous time on the board of the Calgary Chamber of Commerce. She said, "Rob, I know your passion for history. See if you can come up with some ideas that I could work with." So a few of the ideas I came up with, and the very first one is called the Lieutenant Governor Alberta Social Studies Education Student Award. What it is for final year education students who have a great deal of passion, enthusiasm for history, so and social studies. That works in September to March. The dean of the program and the professor, the key contact professor I deal with, they decide the three finalists of who to go to the finalist judging session. So every springtime, except for this spring because of the darn virus, but the last 5 years we've actually had, it's grown, we now have 6 universities and 2 affiliate colleges involved, which is absolutely fantastic. It also includes a bilingual, or at least a French university, I should say, Campus Saint-Jean of University of Alberta. So delighted with that, and so what happens, the three finalists, they do a presentation based on the historical character of Alberta, and they answer questions that we put forward, So it's quite the honor. And then they received a prestigious award from the Lieutenant Governor of Alberta, either at the university's convocation or a special event at her honors office. So it's quite something. It's just a win-win situation. And of note, one, the last winner, he said, Rob, I got to tell you something. Winning that award essentially got me a job. So it's very wonderful to hear that. So that's my first event. And back in the 150th anniversary of Alberta, her honor said, Rob, I've had some interesting ideas, but I was wondering if you had some ideas for Canada's 150th. So I said, Your Honor, why don't we do a poetry contest for students grade 4, 5, and 6? And let's base the contest on a list of 150 to keep the theme going, 150 of fascinating Alberta historical characters. And so what I subsequently did, I brought a research team of 44 members, including the great Hugh Dempsey, and they did bios on all these 150 Alberta historical characters. They're done in English and French. They put it out to the students, and it's amazing. We had over 2,000 submissions. And the winning submissions, the three winners, grade 4, 5, 6, actually said their poem out loud in front of the Lieutenant Governor Alberta and a large crowd at the back in 2017 celebration at Fish Creek Park, historic Bull Valley Ranch. So nice. Quite something. And that's also the opening as well of a poetry garden. So we have it all tied in into one. Yeah, and it's in my third most ambitious idea of her honor. It stems from this back to this game I developed for all those kids when I was the director of Bird Hare School Fairs. I took that idea and I said to her honor, I said, Your Honor, how we take this and we turn it into a game show, a televised game show. So that led to season 21 of the Lieutenant Governor Alberta's Alberta History Quiz Show. So it's well regarded. We dealt with 7 museums, historic sites, including the historic Bow Valley Ranch, to launch the first season this year. So we're doing lots of fun, and there's schools in over 35 towns and cities in Alberta that learn all about Alberta history in sort of a fun, unique way.
Nice. And then just my last question, can you tell me a bit about your original history music?
Yes, well, I'm a firm believer, because people love and enjoy history, or at least they enjoy music. And I thought, well, what an opportunity to combine my passion for history, my passion for creating songs. So over the years, I've now created close to 20, 25 songs based on the historical characters and events. Whether it be Cappy Smart, the great fire chief that the Calgary Stampede parade for 35 years, or Freddie McCall, the great pilot, World War I flying ace, fifth-ranked ace in Canada. And the most recent one is actually History of the Bayou Ranch, which is called Yahoo for the Bayou. I'm so disappointed that this is the 25th anniversary of Parks Canada, at least historic, let me rephrase that, the 25th anniversary of Canada's historic sites actually owning the Bayou Ranch. I wrote the song to celebrate that, and we're all set for next month to do a music video down the historic Bayou Ranch. We plan to actually set the Guinness Book of World Records for two-stepping on our ranch. So the idea obviously fell through, and we'll have to put it through next year. But that's again another example. I just love to put history into my songs to share with people.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with the History Wrangler, and if you did, please give a rating and review. You can reach me at craig@canadaehx.com. You can support the podcast at Patreon by going to patreon.com/CanadaEHX, and you can find hundreds of articles on Canada's history on my website at CanadaEHX.com. And like I said before, we're going to close out this episode with an original composition from the History Wrangler called Captain Freddie McCall Alberta's Amazing World War I Flying Ace.
Have you heard about a Freddie McCall, the flying ace who did it all? He shot down 6 planes in one day with a biplane called a SC-5A. You know the action was really intense. The captain flew by the seat of his pants. His Vickers gun held a 600 round. He brought 37 planes on down. Well, Freddy also had a soft side. What more can I say? When an enemy pilot survived a crash, he dropped a note saying he'd be late for his wedding day. When he arrived home from the war, he looked so sharp with the medals galore. He was a fifth-ranked flying ace, a hero loved all over the place. Hang on now, here we go.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone.
Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.